And it also gave us lots and plenty of...
lots of Luke Cage and,
Jessica
Spider-Woman. Jones. And Spider-Woman.
All right, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 92. Ooh.
Eight away.
Bum, bum, bum.
No.
All right, and so the big news this week is this particular
wonderful preview.
A particular piece of Marvel propaganda. The all new, all different previews. And it's announcing all their new number ones. Of course, available at your local comic book shop,
i.e., here.
Well, who knows? We have listeners outside of Tennessee.
Yeah, sure.
Believe it or not.
I know.
So, as always, I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is...
Adam.
Joshua.
J. Jonah Jesse.
And Jules.
Alright, so the thing that caught my eye right off the bat was the reboot of... Howard the Duck already.
Yeah, that's the one you're really really stoked on.
That was pretty quick. It's pretty quick.
By the way, is this book considered like the pre-previews preview?
No.
No.
Okay.
Previews came out last week.
Yeah. Oh. Previews are actually just magazines with covers of upcoming comic books.
Yeah.
And occasionally, like, figurines and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Previews is basically stuff that Diamond is supposed to ship out in 3 months. That's what a previews actually is.
See it.
Stuff we can order it by the end of the month and get it
in time.
In 3 months.
Yes. It's a good way to bug your local comic book store about something you want that they may or may not get.
Right. But they will be charged for it.
But they so you're going to have to, shell out.
But this previews is specifically Marvel announcing their post-Secret Wars roster.
Yes. Okay. Showing us the lineup they will have on the shelves in some months from now.
Of course, I'm not surprised by the new Deadpool, but the tagline, "More Deadpool than you want it," I thought was eerily
spot on.
Yeah, truth in advertising.
So, just flipping through just now, I came upon Drax.
CM Punk?
Yeah, with CM Punk writing it with Colin Bunn.
Yeah, that was announced a month or two ago.
I did not see that because I guess I just don't care enough.
I think I blocked it out until I picked this up today.
Yeah, that's...
It was even reported on that website that every once in a while we write stuff for.
Really?
CM Punk.
See, I think I blocked CM Punk out of my mind.
I think we reported that he was going to get a new book.
Drax is in a fight cage? Really?
Well, I mean... He's a fighter type guy.
There's a lot of hits and misses. It looks like in the current.
There's some things that I'm very excited for, and then there's some things that just make me shake my head.
Yeah.
Like, I am excited for the Jason Aaron Doctor Strange number one. That looks pretty good.
It's great.
But I flipped the page, and I'm not excited for the totally awesome Hulk number one.
I don't know.
Now, hold on.
Yeah, we had this conversation earlier.
First off, the totally awesome Hulk is the worst title.
It is the worst
title for a Hulk book.
And we said that and agreed on it earlier, believe me.
But in all defense to the book, name aside, Greg Pak, famous for writing one of the better Hulk stories of our generation.
Planet Hulk. World War Hulk.
Frank Cho, who just draws muscles well. He's got really solid anatomy as far as drawing a Hulk book could go. I'm skeptical because of the silhouette of the head. There's lots of talks who the new Hulk is. We just know it's not Banner.
But they couldn't even give him a haircut?
You know, I'll take the curly Q and just say I'll wait for this one. I agree, the name is terrible. But the team working on it makes me feel a little bit better. But that's really as far as I get with Totally Awesome Hulk.
And then there's some things in here that just make me sad. Like, right next to the Totally Awesome Hulk is Captain America number one, but it's written by Nick Spencer, not Rick Remender, who's leaving. And I feel sad because...
Because
Rick Remender, could you at least finish your story before you leave?
You finished Uncanny X-Force, and you finished Uncanny Avengers twice. why couldn't I have gotten some resolution with this Cap story?
All right, well, here's a question I have.
I do like Nick Spencer, though. And Daniel Acuña is awesome.
Daniel Acuña is awesome, and Nick Spencer is great when he's writing lesser-known characters who are quirky. His Ant-Man is amazing. His Superior Foes was great, which is basically what his new Ant-Man is turning into, another volume of Superior Foes, it looks like.
Yes, judging on the Ant-Man cover in here, it seems like a lot of the familiar characters from Superior Foes.
But his more serious stuff, I haven't been that impressed by.
Well, hey, Jules, I have a question. Since they put out this previews for the Marvel stuff, do you think that there's going to be a lot of the series that they've been doing that they're going to be discontinuing?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
I didn't know. Yeah, I was just curious.
All the current books are discontinued.
So does that include...
These are going to be all the new number ones.
So does that
Except for, like, Groot. I think Groot will live on.
Well, do you think that includes all the Gwen Stacy stuff, too?
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen.
Well, Spider-Gwen is already... Spider-Gwen is restarting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Spider-Gwen number one. Same team. It's gonna be the same book. It just starts over again at number one.
Which I mean,
with the same cover.
I would say not really that bad a deal because when's Marvel actually done a full start of number ones? Like they don't do it as frequently as DC has.
They do it every so many titles, every so many.
Yeah, but it's only so many titles.
It hasn't been a total relaunch in quite a long time.
And this definitely seems to be a complete relaunch.
Yes.
And As fluid as Disney is with, canon universe and wanting to control this and that, it probably won't happen again for a while.
Yeah,
probably.
Probably not.
I mean, maybe an individual book here and there, but I wouldn't expect to see it at the same frequency that we have then.
Well, there's two confirmations we've gotten out of all of these announcements. A, Marvel is actually not rebooting, so we can all take like a good deep breath and say, duh.
They're just remembering everything.
Yes, exactly. And that's what they're doing is they're gonna recap.
They've never done that before, have they?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I only have 10 billion Marvel encyclopedias. 10 billion of them.
They're really just rebooting in the way that it's, post-Battle World, which, I mean, we still don't know how that's really panning out yet at the end of it.
What they're doing is just So
everybody knows, though, Secret Wars number 4, awesome read.
You just definitely get that.
Yeah, I read that like an hour ago.
So are they just renumbering to put an end to the Secret Wars?
No.
They're renumbering after the end of Secret Wars.
That's what I'm saying.
They're going to be the Disney-friendly new Marvel universe. This is realigning,
They're realigning a lot of characters. And it's really, that's the thing, is to pull in
because there's going to be the two separate universes, and now the one thing it doesn't say is, obviously all the X-Men are going to be in one different universe. They're not going to be in the main Marvel universe.
No, they're retaining.
Are they saying it? Because they put out something.
The Extraordinary X book, which they say is their new flagship X book, has to deal with the Inhumans, which could only lead to the fact that they're going to play nice. And I think it was more of a scare for Fox. It was more like a scare tactic. Like, we could potentially do this. We're already doing it to the Fantastic Four. Now, that is officially confirmed. There will be no new Fantastic Four book.
Well, they all got split up and sent all over the place, like the things on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Human Torch is on Inhumans. I don't know where Mr. Fantastic is.
No.
Or Sue.
They have not confirmed.
All right, so they're doing two different universes, right?
No.
That's what I'm saying. They just backtracked on that.
They backtracked that.
Oh, so they were going to do it.
And
then they canceled.
Or at least they put out statements that they were going to do it.
They've decided we're just going to go back to the one, not even an Ultimate Universe. That's it. In fact, there is an Ultimates book, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But, Okay. No other alternate universe. Okay. No other colliding universes.
I don't know.
All right, because I was going to ask if they're going to plan on doing two different universes with two different books. Are they going to like put it on the front of the book? Like this is universe A, this is universe B.
No.
I mean, if they were going to do that, would they do it that way to keep it?
I mean, they did it with the Ultimate Universe. Yeah, you just put the word Ultimate on any title, and you knew it wasn't regular.
The Ultimate Universe was just that. But that's
Venom Space Knight.
Venom Space Knight.
They have a bunch of little books in here.
That don't
seem like they should exist. Like there's a Karnak number one. Why do we need a Karnak number one?
But Warren Ellis is writing it.
I probably buy it. Don't get me wrong.
It'll be great for six issues.
For six issues,
and then Cullen Bunn will write the book.
For
and
six
it'll be
issues, it will be amazing. And then all of a sudden, Cullen Bunn will get on it, and it will.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. sounds kind of cool because Man Thing.
I don't know how I feel about Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D.
When's the last time you've heard Man Thing said? Other than talking about a trade.
Alright, well, here.
Wolverines tried to bring Man Thing back.
Really? I didn't read Wolverines.
Well, you know, like, perpetually I've asked you guys, like, what's a good series to start with? You know, reading Marvel since I've been sticking with DC lately.
Is
Howling Commandos a brand new series, or is this just a rehash or a reboot of one that they've been
Howling
doing
Commandos
already?
Have been around for a long time. Originally,
this one is just Howling Commandos in name.
Yes. Right. Originally, the Howling Commandos were the World War II
buddies
of Captain America.
That much I do know. But
and then they got their own book for a while.
Okay.
And so you would see, like, Bucky would have adventures and Howling Commandos, and Cap would have solo issues.
All right, so do you think that might be a good book for me to start with?
Honestly, all of these
are going to be great places to start.
Okay. Now, I don't know if he was originally, but in the Howling Commandos, they had the British guy with that was wearing the helmet. He was in
the bowler. Yeah, the bowler hat.
Dum Dugan.
Yeah,
Dum Dugan.
He was, of course, in Captain America, and. Yeah. He's on the arc for the Howling Commandos. So,
yes, Dum Dum Dugan for a really long time is the people we now think is called
Teen Abominations on
Teen Abomination.
Teen Abomination.
Why is Tom Taylor only writing?
Tom Taylor's not writing this book.
I know.
He's writing All New Wolverine.
And that's it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like Tom Taylor could take on more than one title.
I think he let people down with his Superior Iron Man.
I may be one of them. But I love Teen Abomination. That's a great ongoing joke.
I'll probably just wait until the trades come out, and then that way I can just binge read it.
Yeah. I can't wait, man.
Yeah,
we've had this conversation where...
Well, I know you can't wait, because you just have to know everything as soon as it comes out.
No, I mean, I should say. The joy of being a comic book reader.
I love coming in every week and getting my stack.
It's an aesthetic like, you know.
Especially that's kind of like one of those things, like, when I wasn't buying like current comics, like I'd mainly go to the comic book store. My dad took me to the comic book store when I was a kid. You know, we'd buy a bunch of back issues or something, or like it was always issues. Like up until like me being older and stuff, then I started buying trades occasionally. But I always just bought back issues and stuff.
But yeah, man. It is, and it makes the cliffhanger moments in the middle of the trade way more satisfying than when you read it in the middle.
Because you wait for a whole month.
There's nothing, like Secret Wars, I'm sure is going to be great to read in trade. Every issue has pretty much a cliffhanger, though. So having to actually wait.
That's how comics work. Every issue always has to have a cliffhanger, because
you gotta keep them.
Well, that's the problem. You know, for a while they went to where they weren't writing it as single issues. Yeah. They were writing it in 6-month arcs, so it was like watching the first 15 minutes of a movie.
Every issue.
Well, and the thing is
not
like
the first episode of a TV show.
Well, the thing is, you know, because I've been reading DC, like anytime I've read a trade of the Flash, as soon as like that last page on the trade happens, it's usually some giant cliffhanger. I'm like, oh crap! I have to pick up the next one right now.
The whole first run on the New 52 Flash with Manipul and Pizzolatto.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes them the entire run to tie up, like, the first arc.
Yeah.
Like, Well, they don't tie anything up until the very end, and even then, they don't do a very good job of it.
Well, I don't care, because, I mean, I've actually, like, every DC series of the New 52 that I've been reading, I have enjoyed thoroughly.
Oh, I have enjoyed thoroughly. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the Flash. The art was great.
I mean, I can deal with something taking a little while to get around to, because that just kind of builds it up a little bit.
And plus,
I like reading, like, the dialogue and, you know, what happens between the characters. It doesn't bother me, you know, because I know some people can't stand that. They're just like, just get to the action already.
But that's what we were saying, though.
Holy crap.
Oh, man.
Oh, sorry, people. The rain just started, and it got really dark in here real fast.
But that's for us, like, that's that luster moment we get at the end of every issue. Like, oh, my gosh, now I have to wait.
Well, it's not always a luster moment. Sometimes sometimes I get really pissed at
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, right now I'm reading, you know, the fifth book in the Mortal Instruments series I got from the public library, but as soon as I get done with that, I got a stack of like a foot and a half of graphic novels at the house that I got to just start binge reading with, so.
Right. Oh, I'm sure.
I really hope no one left their windows down.
I didn't.
My question is anyone picking up Lando?
I will.
Yeah, that's why I just forgot that he was writing. I forgot that was the creative team on it for a second until I was looking at this poster that we got handed
today.
That's
an awesome creative team.
Yeah, which it is a really
an awesome
that's
creative
a,
team.
Hey, that's a great poster, period, just from an artwork standpoint.
I'm really sad that's going to be the miniseries.
But by the way, what's that guy's name who played Lando?
Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams. I couldn't remember his name.
I'm okay with it being a miniseries. I mean, you got to keep it rotating. You got to give everybody some love.
Yeah.
Princess Leia ends this week.
Yeah, which was a good book.
It was all right. I mean, it wasn't.
It was better than I anticipated.
It was a lot better than I anticipated.
It was a lot better than I anticipated.
I haven't read it.
It was something. It was about a story I wouldn't have even pegged them to tell in that book. And I appreciate it.
They've been doing a pretty good job overall, though, with Star Wars about telling stories that
will fit in perfectly, too.
Well, I don't know about perfectly.
Yeah, I mean,
not perfectly. That last issue of Star Wars was...
So overall, they've been...
I like that last issue.
I like that last issue.
It more so than the Dark Horse run of stuff on Star Wars.
Well, I never read the Dark Horse run on Star Wars.
I was, like, spotty on it.
Was cool. The thing about the Dark Horse stuff is they saw more story to tell far away from the original trilogy. Is where they always found their places as far as telling stories.
See, I never read the Dark Horse stuff because the problem with the Dark Horse stuff was I knew that it didn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good
that's a great way to describe it. It did not.
It just
and that's
doesn't
what I'm
matter.
Yeah, as far I knew I could read it and I'd be like, oh, that's a cool story. But as far as, like, canon, I could just totally wipe my ass with this. It wouldn't matter.
And it's exactly. You never saw Luke, Han, Leia, Chewie. It was always, like, Anakin, Padme, Jar Jar Binks, Cade Skywalker, Starkiller.
And that the biggest, you know, gain that moving out to Marvel gave Star Wars was now it means
matter.
Something.
Yeah,
it matters. It's actual canon.
Yes.
So all the stuff that's happening in these books actually
matter. Yes. And that's the real benefit that Marvel has right now is there's actually movies coming out. Most of the Dark Horse stuff was done
in the lull in between.
Yeah.
And then the long lull afterwards.
Now, isn't Marvel starting to put out like one movie every 2 years? Isn't that what they're saying?
No, they're
like
putting out
two movies every year.
Oh, two movies every 1 year. Okay.
I thought it was three movies.
Yeah,
I think
starting as three
this,
and
yeah,
then it,
in this next year
ramping down.
Yeah.
like
phase three, because there's so many movies, they have to do three a year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to catch up.
That's so many movies.
That's so many movies.
But the movies have been doing so well. I mean, they have to.
When does Ant-Man come out? Does that come out
next
week?
It comes out. Yeah,
the 16th.
Yeah,
the 16th of July.
Here's the crazy thing. Not only have these Marvel movies, as successful as they've been, revamped Marvel as a profitable entity.
Yeah.
It's also boosted the entire movie industry.
Yeah, no kidding. It's made everyone step up their game pretty much.
Yes, so
even though, and the, you know, and of course, the sad thing is, it really, they're really mean to the independent theater owners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very much. Because
when you go over there and pay $15 for a ticket or whatever, Disney gets 90%+ of that.
Yeah.
Even more on opening night.
Yeah.
You know, which is depending on the theater's negotiations and stuff like that. Just think about that next time you bitch about the $4 drink or the $5.
Yeah, I mean, because
they have to make their money somewhere because they're not.
That's where they make their money.
Yeah, it's not off ticket sales.
Which I will say, though, those ticket sales, because I like actually compared it the other day. I was like, all right, so regular movies, like $12.50, and then it goes the jump to 3D. Adds $4 to that, so it's like $16.50, which I thought was kind of weird. And then IMAX and IMAX 3D is like $18.50, which I thought more. I feel like there should be more of a jump from 3D to IMAX than from standard to 3D. In my mind, I just feel like I feel like most movies now are automatically just made with a 3D option. You think
they
would
jump? Like most major ones.
Yeah, like, I mean, almost every movie I see, I'm like, I have to go, do I want to see this in 3D?
Hell, Dunning.
Not really.
Hell. They can make any movie in 3D.
But it's only the ones that are really profitable.
Only certain ones are shot in 3D. It's really expensive to shoot, because essentially you're shooting every scene with a dual camera.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, down at the Gallatin Theater right now, there's like three movies right now in 3D.
Yeah.
So, and plus, you know, by the way, speaking of that, is anyone going to see Terminator Genesis?
No. Probably not.
Because I'm actually going to, I'm gonna go try and see it Friday.
I'll go see it.
I'll see it at the $1.50, $2 theater.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. Wrong, but I'm not I've enjoyed watching all the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they're cinematic masterpieces or anything.
Oh, no.
I have a really fond memory of seeing Terminator 3, and that's not even like a really...
It's not even that long ago.
I love the cheesy, bad, post-apocalypse type movies.
Yeah.
You know, most of my, Terminator 3 ends right before most of my favorite movies begin.
Yeah. Well, I'm probably going to go see it Friday or Saturday, so I'll let y'all know next week probably, you know, how good it was or not. But people are saying it's supposed to be really good, but there's like two or three other movies that I'm going to have to see. So basically, I'm going to be sitting at the movie theater all day binge-watching movies.
I do like how they explain Schwarzenegger being so old.
Yeah.
Oh, they just sent him back 50 years too far.
Yeah.
I do like how they're playing with the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a lot of fun. It's just, for somebody like us who read weird, wonky timeline stories all the time, it's fine.
It sounds like a fun movie. Else, it sounds like a fun movie, but it sounds like a fun movie I would watch, like, renting it from a Red Box or something for a night.
Yeah, I mean, even
or $2 theater.
Yeah, I mean, even
and Terminator is kind of like the X-Men movies. You go into one and you have to forget everything else you've seen.
Jules trying not to spit all over the floor.
That's spot on. Speaking of wonky timeline stories, that's what I was going to compare it to. It's like, I've been the X-Men my whole life. Well, wonky timeline.
Well,
that said, the X-Men movies, that's a perfect representation of X-Men in comic books.
Yes. None of it makes sense. Who's related to who again?
Here's the thing,
though. What happened to that guy?
Even Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was on the Graham Norton show on the BBC like this past Saturday.
I'm a beast.
And, you know, he was being interviewed about, you know, his role in the new Terminator movie, and even he was saying, it's like, yes, this version of the Terminator was sent back earlier, so his age actually catches up. And he's saying that he's been around humanity all along, you know, for all that time. He's gotten like all the nuances, but whenever he says something or does something, it just doesn't work. You know, because like in one clip, he was, you know, he turned around to smile as if, like, you know, he was saying yes, but the smile was just so cockeyed. It was just like, no.
Which, I saw Ted 2.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoyed it.
You saw Ted 2, like, a week after it came out, and you still haven't seen Age of Ultron?
I saw
it. Okay. Here it comes.
I saw Ted 2 the night before it came out, actually.
Okay, so you saw Ted 2.
You made someone stop in his tracks.
It came out. We do a nerd podcast every week.
And you will explain
and
why.
You still haven't seen Age of Ultron?
Is it even in theaters anymore?
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's still being shown down Gallatin.
Okay.
I'll find
you can see it in IMAX still, probably.
Right. Yeah, I'll check. Hold on.
It wasn't at the theater I was at.
What theater did you go to? A shoebox? Right. We're talking about
a shoebox. What are you talking about?
Here's what.
Age of Ultron has been at the Gallatin Theater almost as long as Frozen was at the Gallatin Theater when it should have stopped being played. It was still being played.
How many times did you go to Frozen alone?
Hey, Frozen was great.
Thank you, Adam. How many times did you go with Adam?
That's a real question.
All right.
Well, do you guys now wish you'd gone together so you had someone to talk to about it and sing along the musicals with?
And shared a bucket of popcorn? Yeah, we so wish we went together. Well, shut up. All right,
Of course, I've been doing all this other crazy stuff. So I had a chance to go see a movie, and it's like, okay, let's go see a movie, because finally had a free film.
Wait, have you seen Mad Max yet?
No.
What the hell?
If you... All right.
Mad Max isn't in theaters anymore, but Age of Ultron is.
Mad Max was great.
Yeah, it was.
So this was the first chance I had to get see a theater and see a movie in like 6 months.
Didn't go
direct. Just happened to be. I'm like, okay, I need a good laugh day.
Avengers
that was
Age
coming
Ultron.
Out, and boom. So I was like,
Friends
okay, let's go
Ultron.
See that.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, so far, I found it. It's at Indian Lake in Hendersonville, the Regal. Let's see where else I can find a Age
it's
of Ultron.
It's at Opry.
No, it's not.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Wow.
That's surprising.
I thought there were so many screens.
Yeah, it's got 20-some-odd screens?
Yeah.
It's in Gallatin, I know that.
Okay.
I just checked the NCG Gallatin, it's not there.
What? I guess they pulled it this week. I don't know.
I mean,
I checked it Saturday and it was still there.
So the $2 theater just got it.
Yeah, probably.
Let's go watch it like 10 times.
Well, hell, a matinee in Gallatin's only
$6. It's only the price of the tickets I got when I first saw it. You see it 10 times in the $2 theater.
Okay, it's still at a... Hollywood 27.
Okay.
Hundred Oaks.
Yeah, Hundred Oaks.
It's literally right next to Hundred Oaks Mall.
Let's see.
There are multiple theaters called Hollywood 27. Or Hollywood 13.
Well, and Hollywood 27 has always been the Thompson Lane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. When you said Hundred Oaks, I know right where it is.
Yeah. It's right next to the BMW Mini Cooper dealership.
So it's still around. You can still watch the movie if
you
want to.
That's fine.
But
I'm
if you
not
don't.
That thrilled with the state of Marvel movies having to see everything.
Man, read a book. You know how much harder that is? That's a commitment. Reading X-Books is like selling your soul slowly. I can't just read the one, no. I had to read five of them.
I haven't read any of the Marvel X-Books, but it's like a war of attrition, isn't it?
Now, the really exciting thing that Adam just pointed out is there are only three X-Books, finally. No more Amazing.
Right now. Give it a couple months.
I'm sure they'll have all new, uncanny, unbelievable
X-Books. There are three X-Books and two Wolverine books.
Yes.
So
neither are the original Wolverine. It's Old Man Logan and X-23. That is funny. It's like a couple years ago when there was like six Spider-Man books and none of them were Peter Parker.
Old Man Logan is in one of the X-Men, like the Extreme X-Men
extraordinary.
Or something. Yeah.
No, Extreme was that really
it's
bad.
Not Extreme
no, I don't think Chris Claremont ruining my dreams again.
Hell, I'm almost surprised they haven't come out with the League of Extraordinary X-Men.
No, they're going to leave that joke where it lies.
In your head.
But no, they have had 10 billion adjectives to describe them over the years.
Of course, they got, I guess, Uncanny, the all-bad guy edition of the X-Men there.
Yeah.
It's
definitely the all-bad X-Book.
It's Colin Bunn continuing his Magneto run. On a book that'll actually sell.
I know.
Because it has Uncanny on it.
And who's doing the artist?
Greg Land.
Oh, yeah. It is all bad. It's all bad. Greg Land is a joke. He traces Vogue magazines all day long. Tracers. Gets paid to do it.
What?
He does. He does.
No, I just thought he was being sarcastic.
His faces are straight traces from magazines.
Wow.
Yes.
He's a tracer.
Yeah.
He's a tracer.
We call those inkers professionally.
Oh, no, but he's actually a tracer.
And it's even worse, he doesn't even get a real colorist. He gets one of those computer graphic colors.
Was busted doing that real bad.
A lot of indies have used the computer graphics. Like
Greg Land was the guy who got like a ton of trouble
for computer color.
During his Ultimate FF run, he got busted when they introduced Marvel Zombies.
Well, I can understand
why there were so many poses he uses that were actually right out of a Vogue magazine.
Well, I can understand why they use computer coloring is because it takes less time to do. You know, just on a screen, just to go, you know, click.
But basically, you take...
I know it takes from the art, I'm just saying it takes less time.
Well, he got busted doing his tracing, and then he also used the same poses on different characters.
Yes, that was the big deal.
And pretty much same
Susan Storm. And Susan Storm's mom and Zombie Susan Storm all made the same pose and the same face. It's like, but, oh.
Isn't that just pure laziness?
Greg Land!
Yeah, that's the big Land. That's what we're saying.
Cullen Bunn and Greg Land. It's the two people I complain about the most.
Fantastic.
Well, hey, I actually got a question for everyone. Has anyone played Batman Arkham Knight yet?
Nope. No, I have not, because I bought it for the computer, and it does not work at all. All
right, well,
No, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. It doesn't work for, like, any computer.
All right.
It
well,
is so broken.
Well, I picked it up.
It is the worst port ever. Well, it does not work.
Have you like complained about it yet?
Oh yeah, I'm getting a refund, and I'm gonna get it for the PS4.
All right, well I got mine for the Xbox One. Hey Danny.
But,
yeah, I got mine for the Xbox One, and like about as soon as I put the disc in, I had to do like a giant patch, and then I started playing it. But I've loved it. The graphics are insane. The action is awesome. And there is so much to do in that game. And the world is so huge.
Pardon me while I step on my old man soapbox here.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
This is the problem when they switched off of cartridges. They can sell you an incomplete game now, and it's okay.
Exactly.
We have accepted this. What the F, people? What the F? You pay $60 to $70 for a game?
Now.
And it's not even going to be complete?
Sorry here, but I got to say, not just cartridges, discs are even fine. You mean specifically
disc
when
games.
We added...
Digital.
Right.
Because I'll take 3 discs of Final Fantasy VII all day long, but I will not take 1 disc of Final Fantasy XIII and 13 billion DLCs.
Look, I don't have a problem with DLC in theory. Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Like Skyrim, like the Dragonborn DLC. That's fine. Dawnguard. That's cool.
No.
Yeah, Dawnguard. That's like a whole
expansion
of the
pack.
Game. Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can deal with downloading my expansion pack as opposed to going out of my way to buy it.
That's fine. But me buying Mortal Kombat and then having to pay extra money on launch day for like 5 other characters, that's ridiculous.
All right, now look,
you should have all the characters in the Mortal Kombat game.
You might have
to be able to unlock them.
All right, when I'm saying a patch, I mean I got the game. I got it on pre-order. I got DLCs for free because I got it on pre-order. But as soon as I put the disc in, there was already a patch ready to download to fix something in the game. And
at least there was a patch for it.
Yeah.
On the computer, there's not even a patch for it.
The computer
just doesn't work.
The issue that I had last night when I was playing
it... doesn't matter what computer you have.
Yeah, I had gotten through the game so much, I just wanted to go online so all the achievements would go ahead and download that I had finished. And about as soon as I connected, they're saying, oh, well, there's a new 3 megabyte patch or 185 megabyte patch that's ready to download again.
Difference.
And I'm just like, wow, that's 2 in less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Here's
why?
What enough with Batman. Let's let it go.
Hey, but
there's enough interesting DC characters you could put into a Vigi game.
Vigi game?
Yeah. I care less and less about Vigi games the older I get. Specifically, this Arkham series has gone way too long.
Well, this is the last one. So.
Well, you haven't played like
well,
any of them.
You don't know that for
City,
sure.
And I played half they of said Arkham it was Origins the last until I was like, all right, I'm done.
All right, you know, I would actually really like to see a DC game with the Flash.
Flash would be okay.
Yeah.
You're just going to be mad until
you get a Green Lantern game.
You know, a Green Lantern game would be awesome.
No, it'd be about as good as Superman, to be honest.
No, you could make it like Metroid Prime.
No, but it
wouldn't
be.
Make different constructs.
I'm not saying that, like...
FPS.
I'm not saying that...
Ring dog. Old Man Miguel.
Old Man Miguel.
I like that. You're never going to get a Green Lantern game, because nobody...
Actually, there has been a Green Lantern game. When the movie came out, they came out with a Green Lantern game.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
That was the movie.
No, see, that's what I'm saying.
The movie was awful.
Jules, like,
when you get a good
the movie was actually worse than the game, though.
Yeah.
It's just like Wolverine Origins.
The movie was way worse than the game. The game was actually
the
good.
Game was
yeah, the game
cool,
was actually
yeah,
not that bad.
Yeah, because it was rated M, and you could actually see Wolverine slice somebody in half. Yeah.
But,
what I paid money to see.
But I can understand.
Give me a whole Wolverine movie with just Wolverine. How am I not watching him stab anybody?
Yeah, but I understand why you guys are saying, like, the Green Lantern movie was bad, because, like, now that I've read the New 52 stuff, I understand why it was bad. Because
you don't have to read Green Lantern.
It was just a bad
movie
was here. I wasn't
that upset with it, but then again, I had not read any Green Lantern stuff beforehand, so I went into it completely
terrible
objective.
Pacing, terrible writing.
God.
I thought it was okay, but like now that I've read the Green Lantern, some of the Green Lantern stuff, I'm kind of annoyed because Parallax was not done well.
There is one thing I wanted to say about
Ted 2. Oh, yeah.
Patrick Warburton dresses up as the Tick.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Gotta go
see Ted 2. Gotta go see Ted
2. Okay, you've slightly redeemed yourself, but not
yeah,
that
the
much.
Fact that you still haven't seen Age of Ultron, Mad Max, and you could have gone and seen Jurassic World, too, as another
But
option.
You basically got to watch Star Trek and The Tick at the same time.
But not really,
but
because
not really.
How long is their cameo or cameo as
Ward Gordon
slash
I don't
really
know.
Great.
Flash Gordon had a pretty long one.
Yeah,
in
he did.
First,
he's in this one too.
Oh, I'm sure
oh,
he
I'm
is.
Sure
he
is.
Has to be.
Yeah, because it's Flash Gordon.
It's like the last half of the movie.
All I know is I want Michael Dorn as Worf to suggest something and somebody tell him no. Never seen that video. Worf gets shut down. It's awesome. Boy. It's 15 minutes of every suggestion Worf has ever made to Captain Picard. Captain Picard telling him no. And it's awesome.
It's pretty good.
It's great because it literally goes through every season. So you see Worf get older, getting shut down every time. He never goes with his suggestion.
It's hard out there for a Klingon.
It's so... But it's
the struggle is real.
It sounds like the name of a rap song. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was kind of going for. Hey, thank you.
You could literally never watch Star Trek The Next Generation. Watch this video. I think it's the best. It's so good.
I might have to watch this.
And all of Worf's suggestions are always the worst. So it's like, we should just kill everybody.
But isn't that his
suggestion? What is your problem?
Isn't that his suggestion to everything?
Somebody did another one. Of Riker sitting down.
Yeah.
He, like, never sits down properly.
No, he always, like, drapes the one leg over. He's like, hey, why did you do that?
Then does he get some of this? Like, the, like,
oh, you
is
got,
there a couple, like, let's rap guys?
Lots of
that. But he kicks his leg over first before he wraps it up.
Alright. That's
great. No, he swings his leg over the chair every time.
And him always...
I get it, you got long legs, but why you gotta show them off?
And always standing, like, putting that one foot on the console while he's, like, leaning over Data's shoulder like he's reading the console that he's sitting in front of.
There's a lot of good news, but the Worf Gets Shut Down is definitely still the best one.
Yeah, but like every time he says, you know, let's kill them all or something equivalent to that, it's like, isn't that his basic tagline to like almost every situation?
Yeah, but seeing them all paired up together is the best.
Back to back.
No, Mr. Worf, no. No. Why could you suggest that? Damn, Worf gets it hard. You never realize every time Worf is on the bridge, he suggests to do something. And there's one where they all three say no. It's like Captain Troy, Riker, and Picard set Worf down. Just the pain on the faces.
Do you think
that's why they put him in DS9 until he finally gets a suggestion?
Yeah, because that's all it is Worf being like, I'm going to do it regardless.
Yeah. Do you think
the last captain didn't let me do it?
Do you think that's why he's never made captain?
Like, he makes captain.
Wait, when?
Expanded in movies.
Well, yeah.
He's captain of the Defiant.
After
they see him
he's,
in,
he's captain of the Defiant.
First contact, they pick him up.
Yeah, he.
And then that future episode with Q.
Yeah, the future episode, he's like
an ambassador.
Yeah, he becomes
general
a
ambassador.
Yes, he
all
becomes
kinds
an
of
ambassador.
Yeah. In the Mirror Universe, he is.
Oh yeah, he's a commander for like, the Klingon fleet or whatever.
Oh yeah, it's not regent.
Yeah, that's
yeah, the regent.
He's regent, so he's over a whole.
District.
Quadrant or whatever, yeah.
I would like them to do the opposite now. Worf joins DS9 and gets everything right. I don't know. I guess Sisko was afraid of him. I would be. That Klingon is huge.
Sisko. Not to mention the fact that, Vibe? Like...
No, Captain Sisko, not Vibe. Vibe is the worst.
Not to mention...
But he breakdances.
Breakdances, man.
Yeah, and Breakdance Fu is only cool for the Black Ranger and Power Rangers.
And what about in Zoolander when they breakdance fight?
Breakdance fighting in Zoolander is pretty good too.
Yeah, just, that's right. It is because breakdance fighting is
cool. Breakdance
fighting
is not cool, man.
Saying that breakdance food can be cool for Latin Americans.
Look,
but he's Cuban.
First off,
he's Cuban, B.
Is Cuba not part of Latin America?
He being the only person of color,
so
you don't understand what it's like to have only five superheroes.
So you're Cuban,
two
you
of
like
which have been a villain
dancing,
at some point.
You
so
like
that's already the worst.
But you don't
for
like Vibe.
Us.
Yeah, he likes Dazzler, but he doesn't like Vibe.
Well, hey, speaking of Cuba, on the plus side, they reopened the embassy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's all
yay.
Good, but I'm complaining about Vibe right now.
All right, complaining away. I was
just saying, the thing about Vibe is. For every silly character you guys have, you have an equally awesome character.
Okay.
It's like just having Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
How many Native American heroes are there?
And you know what? They're still cooler. They got more cooler characters than we do.
Hey, there's that
got,
one.
Like,
there's that one guy in Street Fighter.
Two ex-villains and a girl. And like that's right. It. That's it. We have the five. And the one that's on DC is Vibe. Vibe.
He's amazing.
Don't defend that. You don't know what that pain is.
Hey, and actually, Vibe. You know what? I'm just going to say this
I'm like,
for
cool,
a second.
I'm Hispanic. There's a Hispanic in the Justice League. What does he look like? Why is he wearing four triangular bandanas directly below his neck, which for some reason has no under t-shirt, and wears this V vest?
But you know what? I recall you liking New 52 Vibe.
I gave it a chance when Jeff Johns wrote the first issue, then never wrote it again.
No, you totally liked that shit. I remember.
Yeah, I
remember.
Did. I liked the first issue.
No,
like,
you liked the. You were telling me to read the rest of it. Don't lie.
Christian was telling me to read the rest of
no.
it. I dropped off after issue 3. I was like, oh, Jeff Johns is not going to read
it. Jules is getting heated.
Dude, yeah, I don't like Vibe. Vibe gives us
just,
all a bad name.
You're just mad because we say you look like Vibe.
You don't look like Vibe. You can do a Vibe
God,
cosplay.
You can see the
oh, Vibe cosplay.
You just see the steam coming out of his ears right now.
I know
now.
What I'm getting you for your birthday, buddy.
They don't even talk about Vibe anymore. They don't even talk about Vibe anymore. Like,
because who cares about Vibe?
Exactly.
Well, no, but see, you obviously care enough about Vibe to be so heated about
sucks.
How much you hate him. So you actually really care about Vibe.
We hurt the ones we love.
I care about all new Ghost Rider, but apparently he's not getting a new book either.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
His book was about to get canceled anyway. It wasn't selling well.
What? Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
It really took a drop after Tradmore left, though.
I mean, I just...
Now, are you talking about the new series? Or,
yes.
Like, to the old stuff? All right.
No, the new series. All the right. New series had the only Hispanic Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Well, I actually... Like,
still
I
Ghost
I mean,
Racers, though.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
I haven't...
Ghost Racers is cool.
Like. Like, I haven't read it. I've just flipped through it just to check out the artwork. But I think the artwork is excellent.
I kind of dislike
like, so I'm actually really wanting to read Ghost Rider regardless... Or, you know, read that series regardless if it's being canceled or not.
Not my style. A bit too...
Like, how many issues is it, you know, going to have before it gets canceled?
I mean, it's
I
pretty much
like
canceled now at this point.
The two Marvel superheroes that are Hispanic are on these two covers back-to-back, and that's it.
Jesse, what, like two or three?
I don't like the new
Miss America.
Trades? Is that,
and,
I mean, is
that, that new Avengers cover.
I don't know
it,
how long
it
it's been
me.
Running, but it's pretty much
not PlayStation-friendly powers.
Oh, yes,
so
it's
going to
be
on
Blu-ray and DVD.
What is it?
Powers, the Brian Michael Bendis series, they turned into a show for the PlayStation Network.
I run an Xbox One. I wouldn't know.
Right. Right. But that's, well, saying, that's for what those we're of saying. You not PlayStation friendly, Powers. Yes. You'll be able to get season one on Blu-ray or DVD.
Wish I could just put it on Netflix.
Well, the whole point
I
is...
I know, but I'm just saying, wish I could, because I'm...
Oh, by the way, I got Fallout 4 on pre-order, so... Oh,
excellent, excellent.
Yeah. Did you see that guy who pre-ordered it using Bottle
Caps? Yeah, Bottle Caps, yeah. He
wait,
just said
no.
Box.
Wait, what?
How, it was like 14,000... It was like some insane...
It was 5 kilos of Bottle Caps.
What, he just took to the local scrapyard and got cash
for it? No, he sent them to Bethesda, the bottle caps.
They said because he was the first one to do it, they would
honored it.
Now, are you
talking about everybody else had to pay with money.
Now,
money.
When you say bottle caps, do you mean like bottle caps like off beer bottles?
Yes, they said the entire studio smelled like beer after they opened the...
I bet the guy worked at a bar.
That'd be the only way you could save up 14,000 bottle caps in no time flat.
I think they someone said that the amount that he sent was way, like, in, like, comparing Fallout currency to our currency, would he way overpaid for that anyway. Yeah. So it's like, really, you could have done a lot less, but, I mean, I guess...
Because, I mean, honestly, it's almost a dollar a cap or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but I mean, most bartenders, they keep a tin bucket behind the bar for, like, you know, because they have to open beer bottles, like, all night long.
Right, so you can
get a bucket of bottle caps and
Yeah, but you usually throw those away.
Into garbage.
Yeah. But the neat thing we're talking about Fallout 4, and I'm glad you brought it up, E3, they have an app you can download, and if you get the special edition... You'll get a iPhone holder that has interactive controls.
Yep.
Will replicate a in-game active functional Pit Boy.
Yeah, which I was just like, I need it.
Yeah, they actually. GameStop actually called me and asked me, "Hey, do you want to spend like the extra $70 some odd to get this special edition?" Blah blah blah. I was like, "No, nah, I'll just take the game."
Really? I'm gonna do it.
I would do it if you just turned and sold it on eBay.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna sit in my house probably. I'm not gonna
sit in a box
unless I'm doing a cosplay for for Fallout. But it's like. It's just going to sit there because it's cool. It's cool as hell. Like,
yeah, it's like I'm never going to use this or take it out of the box. It's just going to sit there and be cool.
I mean, I don't even plan to buy the game, but...
Yeah. But you want that.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe I'll let you borrow mine for a week or something, Larry.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want the thing so badly, give me the extra money and I'll upgrade it. I'll take the game. You can have that.
What is it? $70?
Well, I can't remember. I'll call GameStop and ask them.
I think you get extra stuff, too.
Well, yeah, you get loads of extra stuff beyond that.
Something I just realized I want to talk about, and I don't care about anything you guys were just talking about.
Shut up, Vibe.
Okay, we don't care.
Well, thanks.
Secret Warriors in Season 3.
How's Vibe in that?
Of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the most exciting thing I've heard in a long time.
Nobody cares, Cisco.
You like Secret Warriors? You didn't like Secret Warriors? It was like the best Hickman book for a really... It was the only Hickman book for like a really long time.
You gonna turn sound into music now?
Just Gazler, actually. Vibrates.
Doesn't music turn into sound regardless?
Yeah. But that's why he likes Dazzler. She can turn music
sound
into sound.
Yeah.
I hate you guys so much.
Now, does Dazzler like Vibrator?
That took a turn like I haven't seen in a while.
Phrasing, my friend.
Sorry, that was only supposed to be implied, guys.
No pun intended.
Why? And then you just said it.
Vibrator. It's only supposed to be a plug.
Your ability at double entendre not too good.
Your ability at that is not strong. Renowned.
Wow.
Good job.
You shut Jules down fast.
No, I think Cisco, the Cisco comment kind of shut him down.
It did shut me down. I was really excited, and now I'm not. It's still going to be good.
They're getting in hell, aren't they?
Yeah. I was trying to be all excited about Secret Warriors entering Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. 3. But no, I don't care. Now I hate you guys.
I haven't watched any of the other two seasons, so...
I've watched the first two, three episodes of Agents.
I've tried watching the first season, like, three times.
The first half of the first season's rough. Second half's good. The second season's good.
I just can't get past that first half. It's not that I make the active choice to stop watching it. It's that I just completely forget. Hey, I'm watching this.
Well, see,
just I love. That's see, not and what here's the thing. That's my problem with the Marvel movies. I've lost interest in the TV show, and the movies reference the TV show and vice versa.
And not really.
Not as good
enough to where.
Well, in Age of Ultron, they already. I walked by somebody watching it, and they told me how the it ends. So
yeah, there's no point in you really watching it. I mean, almost, almost. I said almost.
But
I mean, I've enjoyed watching it all the way through.
With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, I would say I just kind of forget about it. Like, I watched the first three episodes. I enjoyed them even. They weren't bad. Like, it was entertaining. Like, yeah,
they weren't terrible. They weren't like, I'm never going to watch this again. Then I just forgot.
Yeah, I watched the third one, and I was like, yeah, I'll watch that one day. Like, I need to continue watching it. And every time I see it on my Netflix queue, I go, one of these days I'm going to watch more of that. And then I go... Yep, but now...
But right now, I'm going to watch this instead.
Instead, I'm going to rewatch Firefly.
Well, I mean,
that's the eighth time.
Right. That is kind of the issue. There is so much other stuff on TV to watch.
Firefly not too long ago.
Yeah, no, I still haven't finished Daredevil because Firefly takes precedence.
Really?
Yeah, because Firefly is great and my girlfriend hasn't seen it before, so...
Daredevil was what killed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the last time I tried to watch it.
Don't get me wrong, I enjoy Daredevil a lot too, but I like Firefly more.
I can't watch Arrow or Flash anymore because of Daredevil. I'm not even lying, like, I watched that next episode of Arrow the week following Daredevil premiere, and I was like, Arrow's not good. Now that I know I can has, I don't want this anymore.
Arrow's has been slowly falling away little by little.
It's just like when you start reading comic books, and you start with DC characters, you're like, this is cool. And then you get to the Marvel side of things, you're like...
This is a little bit better.
This is kind of really what I thought I was going to get when I first started this, and now I just don't want the other thing anymore.
And I've liked The Flash, but where the next?
I still get DC. I mean, DC. Batman never seems to fade. Bad writers or not, Batman doesn't terribly fade. Yeah, that bad.
But
other characters in DC
get some really bad stories.
Yeah, but
Batman does get some really bad.
But The Flash has been really good, except for like where the new season is supposed to pick up. And now I'm just like, really, they're gonna do that?
You don't have a character for 75 years and not have some bad stories.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
specifically The Flash,
and especially when it's obviously not the same person writing it. And
Barry Allen has just got some of the worst of it.
Is anybody watching iZombie?
Yes, I am. I've watched it all the way through.
It's because Barry Allen was only around for the Silver Age, and the Silver Age was not a time for...
Yeah. No, and that's why I don't understand why Geoff Johns will not let Barry Allen...
Why he won't let the Silver
Hal
Age
Jordan go,
in
because it's not that great.
Yeah, iZombie has been pretty good.
Everything in there is for sale. I warn you now.
Hey, Larry.
If anybody wants to buy my drinks, they can get beat outright.
Yeah, I've watched iZombie all the way through. Like, I haven't read the books yet, but I've liked it. So, I mean, that's without reading the comics, so I can't really compare.
The first three episodes, it seemed okay.
It's gotten better as it's gone along.
Yeah.
It's gotten, like, a little bit more mysterious, and then she starts to figure things out.
I'm actually waiting on to see what Jessica Jones is like, having seen Daredevil.
I just want to see Doctor Who be the Purple Man.
I agree. I just want to see David Tennant be the Purple Man. That's going to be awesome. I am looking forward.
I just want to see Doctor Who.
Yeah. I just want to see David Tennant do more things in a suit. And only the Purple Man suit looks like a doctor suit. I'm like, that's cool. For them.
All right, now, do you think he's going to wear Chuck Taylor's while he's wearing the purple suit?
No, they're not going to go that far.
I don't know if they find him a good pair of purple Chuck Taylor's, which they do make.
I am ready to see... Does everybody forget that next year Doctor Strange is coming out? Because I did. Until I just looked at this calendar.
What, on Netflix or on TV?
No. In the movie. Doctor Strange. Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange is November of next year.
All right, who's playing Strange?
Benedict Cumberbatch. Did I not just
Cumberbatch.
Say that? Cumberbatch, whatever.
Sherlock.
Sherlock is going to be...
I think he'll probably do
Smaug.
Smaug.
Hey, by the way,
Smaug
the...
terrible.
Smoogie Boo.
That show on BBC, Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, it's a Victorian era magician show. I actually really like it. It's like really getting really good. So
tell you what, it's
definitely a good show to watch.
Channing Tatum as Gambit.
It's Gambit.
Channing Tatum as Gambit is the worst thing Fox has done since.
Yeah, I thought...
The last two Fantastic Four movies.
When you just said Channing Tatum as Gambit, that just made me cringe on the inside.
Channing Tatum as Gambit. Yeah, We Stand on Guard.
Came out today. Brian K. Vaughn's new book came out today, folks.
Yeah, it's been on my it's been in my hold box list since it got in previews like months ago, and I was just waiting for it.
By the way, why is it that, like, whenever they cast Gambit, they can't get someone from Louisiana with a proper Cajun accent to actually play Gambit? Because I'm sure that...
Have you ever talked to those people? Because they're my people. They are. My family's from there.
Sorry, Adam. I'm just saying as...
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I just apologize.
Seriously, though, you know why they don't get people from there? Other than Adam here, you can't understand a lick of what they're saying. You need subtitles for everybody.
You are the most normal person I've ever met from Louisiana.
I'm sorry, I guess I'm just used to the old X-Men cartoon where Gambit has a, you know,
but I wouldn't
Cajun
call that
accent.
Really a good Louisiana. That's like still like a, that's a very romanticized
Louisiana.
Yeah, it's like, because it's actually a whole lot like.
But it still sounds great.
It's really similar. Go into like
Gambit sounds
Appalachian
like
Mountain,
from, yeah,
like the Appalachian, and then
the way Wolverine sounds like people from Canada. They don't. It's a romanticized version that Chris Claremont created.
Sorry,
and Jim Lee. I'm just saying, like. People from Louisiana don't actually sound like Gambit from the 90s cartoon.
Okay.
And people just don't. People just don't.
You know, have you seen Joe Dirt?
Yeah.
You know the part when he goes to Louisiana and is trying to find his parents?
That's
And the guy's like, says like,
Home is where you make it.
And it just sounds like...
I want to see Hobo's
What are you doing with that X-Acto knife?
Messing with it?
Okay.
But, people from there don't actually sound like Gambit.
Yeah, so overall, since you derailed my point with an X-Acto knife,
sorry.
Whatever. But yeah, Gambit, it's never going to sound like the 90s cartoon.
No, nothing's ever going to be.
But why would they cast Channing Tatum as Gambit?
Because he has rock hard abs.
Them abs, though. That's right.
That's right.
I guess.
Because they couldn't cast Matthew McConaughey. And you know what? Everyone had
He'd
that
be drinking a
off.
Corona the whole time. Gambit would be really fond of
that. That would be like the worst Gambit ever.
Except it would be the best.
You know what I love
but
about
high school girls?
Yeah,
because he can roll deep into that Texas accent when he wants to.
He can roll deep into that. You know the best part about high school girls?
And that's why it would be so funny. Him and Jubilee talking.
It bleached my brain.
Larry looks like he's fixing to have an aneurysm from that.
Saying all that, he might apparently be playing Norman Osborn.
Who?
Matthew McConaughey.
How?
And then how?
That's definitely a different take on
Norman
Osborn.
I don't know. Apparently, Marvel's trying to recruit him to be a part of the new Spider-Man movie they're doing. Co-opted with Sony.
Oh, man.
Apparently, Marvel's trying to recruit everyone and anyone who might fit the bill.
Yeah, Beyonce is apparently in talks with Marvel.
What?
I'm not even joking about that.
Are you serious?
That is a very serious... I do not joke about Beyonce.
Who the hell would she even play?
Medusa.
Queen
of the Inhumans.
Okay,
or She-Hulk.
Or She-Hulk. There's talks about her, She-Hulk.
They're gonna... All right.
She'd be a great She-Hulk, actually.
Actually, Beyonce's a good actress. I can see her
and
being She-Hulk.
I'm just gonna say, body type from how She-Hulk's usually portrayed...
Not far off.
I don't know. I think either...
She'd play Dazzler any day.
Marvel's recruiting her, not Fox.
Hey, yeah, personally, like, I think Gina Carano or Ronda Rousey would probably be a better option for She-Hulk. Because they have the muscular build for that.
Yeah, but they can't act.
Yeah.
Gina Carano can act.
Not well.
She-Hulk is a very charismatic. She-Hulk does a lot of talking.
Maybe on maybe some strange DVD movies starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, she can act.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He actually.
Now, wasn't he Captain America? He totally played Guile in Street Fighter.
He's from Brussels.
Exactly. He played the American soldier on that Street Fighter movie that's so good.
Yeah, the Colonel.
Greatest
Colonel
movie.
Guile.
Yeah, greatest movie. Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's still not as good as Mortal Kombat, though.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat just needed blood.
Dude, yeah. Mortal Kombat
I'm so amazed there is no blood in that movie. And it was
considering the fact it's the bloodiest
blood,
game at the time.
Honestly, that would have been a pretty decent representation of how the game's
played. Well, no, yeah. I mean, it's just the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They have sweat.
Yeah. Which. It's funny to know, you know, that's the guy who directed.
Wait, it was sweat? I thought it was dirt.
Event
no,
Horizon.
Sweat. That was all fun.
Okay.
I kind of blew my mind when I found out.
What?
It's the same dude who directed Event Horizon, Mortal
Kombat,
the first
and
Mortal
all
Kombat.
Those Resident Evil movies.
Yes, and all those Resident Evil movies.
Really?
Hey, Event Horizon was
Event Horizon.
Yeah, that's up there.
Awesome.
Some of my favorite. One of my favorite movies, especially of the kind of horror type thriller genre.
Well, yeah, no,
it's
a great
and
movie.
It's in space, so
yeah.
Space.
Space.
It's got Morpheus.
Hell.
It's got
itself.
Morpheus and the dude from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Sam Neill.
Yeah.
He's like, that's
the guy
funniest
who plays
Alfred
ever. On Gotham.
I've repeated, like,
rewound
that part when he's, when he has
Jason
that
Isaacs.
First dream sequence and he sees his wife, like, you know, and he yells, but in the oddest way, it's just like, it's like that's not how you're surprised.
Event Horizon is one
so
of the movies on the list of things to show to a small child you want to scar.
That's a good example because that's how I felt when I watched
or just
movie.
Scared
that was
sheer
a small
terror.
Child.
I mean,
and that movie scarred me.
It's a good.
It is. I mean, it is a psychologically scary movie.
Yeah.
It is awesome. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons I freaked out the first time I played Dead Space, because Dead Space feels so much like that movie, in that it's so eerily quiet.
Did it give you PTSD? Did that replay?
Dude, I'm telling you, actually, if you watch Event Horizon in the dark and then start playing the first Dead Space, you can't help but feel there's some direct correlation.
There is.
Yeah.
I mean, there is actually, like, at one point, talks about making an Event Horizon game.
Yeah.
But I think Dead Space was already in production and is so heavily based on it. They just said, yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah. Because it seemed like it was just so closely represented that they could have literally just taken the game as was, put an Event Horizon
and
on
there,
it, and it
they
would have
had
fine.
To change a lot of the backstory and plot. I feel like, because, but yeah, I mean, as far as the location itself, as in like you're on a ship,
that's true.
Hell is on this ship.
Yep.
Then yeah, it's pretty much it's pretty close.
And you're trying not to go crazy, but you cannot tell if you are or are not.
I really suck at Dead Space. Like,
it's a terrifying game.
Well, like, I'm just not good at it.
The first game is really good.
The first game is really great, specifically that there's hidden messages throughout the entire game. Yeah.
First game is really good.
Second game is pretty good.
Second one was pretty good.
Except that you could die while trying to save the game.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that sucks about the second game. Per se. Third game's terrible.
I never beat the third game. I got like halfway through. And
you
I
can't
couldn't.
Beat it by yourself.
Yeah, I heard
hey,
it
just for an eerily scary game, the original Condemned for 360, that was a scary game.
Now you know what was a really scary game? Resident Evil 1. Because you couldn't shoot anything. You literally, the whole game just, oh no, you're running into the wall. No.
Yeah, just sitting in crosshairs the entire time.
Like, oh god, ammo? 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 Come on! Ammo? Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
That game is so, so terrifying because you just can't.
And constantly having to pick up plants just so you don't die all the bloody time.
I don't think they had plants in the first
That's four.
One.
Oh,
yeah.
That's four. All right. Yeah.
Yes.
It's been so long since I've played them.
Resident Evil 1 was the worst because you couldn't kill anything. Or not
it was
in
just
the first
that
shot.
Top-down,
yeah, not with the first shot.
That top-down angle was kind of
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just not conducive to actually.
And it will give you the worst anxiety. You're like, oh my god, I can't shoot the zombie. Why? I'm facing him. I know. Oh, all right. I'm
Unless
a
you're playing
slight
like
air
scrolling.
To the left.
And
I'm gonna be a slight air to the right.
And the reload.
Shoot him in the head. Don't you love PlayStation 1 mechanics?
Yeah, and the reload speed was so slow. Oh, my God.
That was back when, you know, to load to the next place took about half an hour.
Practically.
Like, oh, man, I'm going to put in some pizza bagels in.
Yeah.
Should be done by the time I get through this next door, which supposedly is just the next room. That load time, though. Yeah. That load time, though. Wow.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to the Gears of War remastered of the original game. But I actually got into a discussion with the people over at GameStop. You know, why didn't they do like a full blown remastering of like all four games as a complete collection like they did with Halo? Well, you know, for the Xbox, it doesn't make any sense why they didn't do that.
This whole remastering process is stupid. Halo's got more money than Gears of War does.
Well, they're going to be coming out with the fifth game next year or later this year. And the remastered is coming out in August.
But the remaster's really pointless, like, in the fact of at least, like, a generation apart is pointless to remaster something that is only one platform, like, one generation old. Like,
remastering just Final Fantasy VII now.
Final Fantasy VII makes sense.
My God, the amount of bugs in Final Fantasy VII hurts.
And then, you know, like, doing the HD remasters of, like, the Devil May Cry games is cool because that's, like, you know, for one, wasn't even on Xbox. As PlayStation, and those games are old, and they're cool to play on a current system.
Final Fantasy VII. I can't wait to cross-dress in HD graphics.
It's yes! Oh, dude, that scene! Were you Cloud? Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, neither did I.
All I know is this time around, I'm not leveling up Aerith.
Aerith.
Not gonna waste half of the, more than half, the whole first disc, all my time wasted. Why did you give me such a good character? It was so easy to level up. It was so necessary for all my battle plans. I just kill him.
Yeah.
In the first, this is a 3-disc game. You couldn't wait. You couldn't wait till the end of the game. Yeah. Nope. Okay.
You know, one game I wish they would remake or update, whatever, Onimusha. I love that game. That game was awesome. Plus, the weapons were just cool.
I never really played the Onimusha games. Yeah.
I just know there's that, was it 3, where Jean Renault is in the game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The only one I played was actually a GBA game, the Onimusha Tactics.
Oh, that was a fun game.
Yeah, because I like all tactics games.
But
I just thought it was cool to fight, you know, demons with a samurai sword and then suck their souls into a gauntlet glove. That was awesome. And sit there and solve puzzles to try and get through to the next part throughout, you know, periodically through the game.
Oh, anyone see the trailer for the new Dragon Ball Z movie?
No.
It looks kind of awesome.
Who's playing
and
in
it'll it? Suck.
No.
Final thoughts.
No. It's an Dragon animated Ball Z movie, guys. Yeah, it's not live action.
It's an animation. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was going to be I thought it was going to be a live action movie like they did with the last one.
Final thoughts, I guess.
Fuck Brian Michael Bendis. I'm done with this
shit. There's our F-bomb of the day.
Wow.
I feel like coming a mile away, guys.
All right. My final thought is, I'm going to try and plow through this fifth Mortal Instruments series just so I can get back to reading comics because I'm really wanting to read Dead Man Wonderland. And I'm glad that Mark ordered all of the books for me so that way I can, you know, keep them. I can actually get them without having to worry about, you know, hey, I need to find them. So.
Wait. Jesse?
Man, I don't like Jane Foster Thor. Screw you, Jason Aaron. Though,
really?
Axe-wielding Doctor Strange is pretty cool, so I'll give you that one. So you're about half and half on my list right now, Jason Aaron.
Oh, we're to me. I'm excited about Jeff Lemire writing X-Books. He does a really, really good job with moving plot forward and maintaining characters. So I'm really looking forward to it.
And him on
Old Man does a good job writing Canadians, too.
Yeah, he does. Him being Canadian. It helps. And actually, I'm really looking forward to...
But does he sound Canadian?
He is Canadian.
He is Canadian.
So he probably says a boot a lot.
Yeah. I know, and I'm sure... And that's my final thought, is how funny Marvel editorial's question about who was going to write the Old Man Logan book. Yeah. Who do you know who could write about an old, mean Canadian? Did you read Jeff Lemire's Sweet Tooth? Yeah, there's an old, mean Canadian guy in that whole book who's pretty much like Wolverine with a gun. Let's give him the book. That's going to be an easy slam dunk. We already wanted that artist he's worked with before. So we'll just put them together, and bam, no one's going to say anything about how that's kind of a middle finger to DC. But it's kind of a middle finger to DC. Remember when these guys did Green Arrow? They're not anymore. They're doing our book.
All right.
And I'm done.
And well, and I would say it looks great. I'm excited to dig into this.
Yeah.
All right.
We stand on guard.
We stand on guard, not united we stand. Looks great.
Yeah.
The art looks good.
I've been excited about it since it got announced, pretty much.
Those of you in the area, come check out our customer appreciation potluck barbecue. It'll be this Saturday.
Ooh.
We'll provide hot dogs, chili, cheese, condiments, drinks. You just bring a side dish or something.
What time is that starting?
That'll be noon to 8, July 4th.
Oh, I almost forgot. The tabletop day at the library that was last week, we had about 2 more people showed up, so now we're up to about 13 people.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I mean, it's slowly building, but like, it's already gotten so big they're talking about maybe doing it twice a month now, or like within, you know, after this month or this month they're talking about maybe doing it twice a month.
Alright, check us out online, comiccity2.com, outrightgeekery.com, or facebook.com/comiccity2, or come see us down in Madison, Tennessee. Nobody?
Okay. Yeah.
Good night, Elaine.
Good night,
Elaine. Good night, Elaine.
I
realized when you were offering. I was like, oh, no.
I was going to say it, and then I didn't realize, like, what he was, like, hinting at.